Peter was an amazing character. He was enthusiastic. He was quick to speak out. He was quick to jump in, mostly with 2 feet. And sometimes he got it right. Sometimes he got it wrong. I like Peter. He was very human. This 21st chapter of John is here because even though Jesus had risen from the dead, and in John we read that he had visited the disciples twice already, there was still something just not quite right for Peter, as we thought about earlier. We see this in verse 3 of chapter 21. He was going back to his old way of life, to fishing. In fact, in verse 2, we read that Peter was no longer in Jerusalem, but at the Sea of Galilee, back in his home area, which was a journey of approximately 70 miles. Now, this is important to note because in the previous chapter, in chapter 20, in verse 21, Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I am sending you." The disciples had been commissioned to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And here we see some of them, and they are fishing. Something was wrong. They were not doing as Jesus had said, as Jesus had commanded them to do. Why was this? Why was Peter not doing as Jesus had commanded? Well, as we look at the whole story of chapter 21, we can assume that he felt that he had failed Jesus by that denying of Jesus 3 times. This failure had affected his ability to do as Jesus said. Instead, maybe the problem of that failure was the guilt he felt, and that feeling of inadequacy, and that drove him to go fishing. We probably know this story quite well. We know about the large catch of fish and the barbecue, and that Jesus restored Peter. This passage tells us that failure isn't final, and Christians need to hear this. With Jesus, failure isn't final. Forgiveness and repentance, new beginnings, are part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter is a great example of this truth. From this passage, we see several lessons for us. And the first one is that we need to look out for the warning signs that we are living in a place of failure. And it may not be immediately obvious to us. So we need to watch out for this. Like with Peter, because of failure, we go back to how our life was before Jesus. If we are living our Christian lives in a place of failure, we will find that we are drifting back to the way we were before we met with Jesus and started to follow Jesus. We might find that there is no difference between our lives and the lives of the world around us. We will allow failure to rule our lives. We will no longer have the joy that we used to have in worshiping God, the awe and hope in our lives as we think of the wonder of heaven, that confidence and reassurance we get from following Jesus, the joy and challenge which we get from reading Scripture and praying. We won't be telling others about Jesus, and this list could go on. Our lives will be filled by chasing after the same idols as the world does. Our priorities will not be about building treasure in heaven, but building treasure on earth. So we need to ask ourselves, are we different now than we were before we became Christians? Are we different from the non-Christians who are around us? Because we should be. We should feel the peace of the Lord and be on his mission in the world as we are commanded to. So let us look out for the warning signs that we are living in a place of failure, allowing failure to rule our lives. There are many failures that can negatively affect our Christian walk. It could be failure to love, to forgive others, or to forgive ourselves, to forget, failure to give, serve, and witness. Failure maybe to be a good neighbor, father, mother, son, daughter, uncle, aunt, granny, granda, whatever. Failure because of the distractions that are around us, of maybe entertainment, of TV, movies, books, success, sports, socializing. We are easily one of the most distracted and distractible generations ever. Maybe we've got failure to deal with anger, bitterness, envy, sexual temptations, mourning, sickness. Failure to put away our feelings of inadequacy, our guilt, our pride, our greed. All of these can lead us to a place of failure, a place where we feel that we have let God down, we have failed God. Our Christian life can be like that of Peter at the start of chapter 21. A life that isn't where it should be, isn't doing what it should be doing. And this can happen because we are human and we can allow failure to damage us. With Jesus, failure isn't final. If you look at chapter 20, the previous chapter, look at Thomas. Jesus restored him. In the rest of this chapter, we see some guidance that can help us to see that failure isn't final. And that, more importantly, Jesus wants to take us from a place of failure to a place of flourishing, where we are living our Christian lives for the Lord, flourishing for Him, full of the Holy Spirit, just sharing His love, being the disciples He wants us to be. And second, we see how to get out of a place of failure if we are stuck there, so that we can then flourish. And the key here is to remember. To remember when we first started to follow Jesus, giving Him our lives. This miracle of the very large catch of fish is an extremely similar miracle to the first miracle that Peter would probably have experienced. And we find that in Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 at the start of Jesus' ministry. It says this: one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the same lake, the same place, He got into Peter's boat and taught the people. Then Jesus told them to cast their nets, but Peter replied to Him in verse 5, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because You say so, we will let down the nets." Again, the same thing, listening to Jesus, doing as Jesus said. And then verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. The same result, except this time the nets didn't break. But Jesus reminded Peter of their first encounter, when Peter gave up fishing, his livelihood, what he had done until that point. And he gave it all up, walked away from it to follow Jesus. And then also the joy of that decision. And the same is true for us. If we feel that we are in a place of failure because of some sin or something we have done or we are doing, we know that we are going backwards instead of forwards. We need to remember. We need to remember that life-changing decision we made to follow Jesus and the joy of it. That when we came to a realization of our sin and our need for repentance and how Jesus loved us so much that He endured the cross for us, that moment when we knew that the only answer, the only thing we could do was to follow Him. And for me, when I am in times of failure, which are all too often, I find it also helpful when I think back to when I was 12 years old and I gave my life to the Lord at a mission in Wellington Street where the BB ran. When I saw my need of Jesus and I desired to be with him in heaven, I knew I couldn't deal with my sin. I knew that Jesus was the only one who could deal with it. I remember that joy of giving my heart to the Lord and how that changed and has shaped my life since. That was a wonderful day. Can you remember that moment when you decided to follow Jesus? Remembering this helps us to see the big picture of Jesus' work and calling on our lives. Remembering this helps to lift us out of failure because it reminds us that Jesus has dealt with our sins once and for all and we are forgiven. And that although, yes, we may fail and we may sin, we are safe in Jesus' loving arms. And when we come back to him and we repent, he forgives us. He is bigger than our sin, our failures, our shame. So as we did at that first time when we believed in Jesus, we give it over to him, our failure, allowing him to deal with it. Remembering that can be a powerful thing in our lives. Also, we see that to help us to get out of the place of failure, we also need to remember what we are called to do. Back in Luke 5, we read this. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled up their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. As Peter remembered deciding to follow Jesus, he would also have remembered that Jesus called him. He called him to catch men, to be a fisher of men, and how that mission was to be the mission and the purpose of his life. When I was at university, I always think of it as the sort of second stage of me getting to know more about the Lord. Because that's whenever I realized that I actually had to mature in my faith, to stand up for it, to be able to tell others the reason for that hope and joy that I had, that I couldn't just stand still in my faith. I suppose I found more purpose in serving God than simply just being a good lad, which I'd been to that time. That's when I started to look for more opportunities to serve the Lord, and it changed my life. That blessing I received as I realized that and I was involved in ministry. Again, the same applies to each of us. As Christians, our mission is to tell others about Jesus, sharing the good news, bringing hope and light to this world through our witness. If we are in a place of failure, we will not be engaged in this. So we need to remember our purpose, to catch people for Jesus, and to remember when we did that, the blessing it was to us. And this helps us to get out of that place of failure. If we are in a place of failure, where our relationship with God is not what it should be, it is easy to go back to the old ways, the way things were before. So we need to remember the first time we responded to Jesus and the first time we understood and obeyed the call to go, and allow that to drive us out of that place of failure. And the final thing we see here is that we go from failure to flourishing. We need to see that a flourishing Christian life is all about love and service. And these two reinforce what has gone before. But Jesus took Peter from a place of failure to a place where he could flourish and did flourish for the Lord, doing amazing things for Jesus in the world. And as he did it, I love this loving and personal side of Jesus. I think it's just awesome. Jesus, the risen Savior of the world, he made breakfast. And then when he had made breakfast and had eaten, he challenged Peter, saying this: "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Three times Jesus asked this. And three times Peter replied with a yes. And when we see something repeated three times in the Bible, we know that it is important. It's simple. The motivation for a flourishing Christian life is that we love Jesus. What did Jesus mean when he said to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Well, we don't know. Was it the fish? The thing that Peter had went back to? Was it people? We don't know. But the principle is that we must love Jesus more than anything else. He must be the top of everything, the top of the tree. In this episode, we also see that each time Jesus commanded Peter to do something, he said, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." It is clear that Jesus is commanding Peter to serve him, taking up the call to go in the power of the Holy Spirit and make disciples of all nations. Love for Jesus and service to him are linked. They can never be separated. And I think that they point to three things that Christians must be involved in order to flourish. These three imperatives that Jesus spoke to Peter of, they're all very similar. And it can be dangerous to impose meaning on them. But we also know that Jesus always chose his words really carefully. And I think that they point to types of service that all Christians should be involved in if they want to flourish. And the first he said, "Feed my lambs." We are to be involved in the spiritual nourishment of new believers and those who are younger. That's what it could mean. Second, take care of my sheep. This means to shepherd. The word for take care is shepherd. And it implies that we all should be involved in the pastoral care, the looking after, the supporting of our fellow Christians. So we've been looking at life together in the mornings. We're to be involved together, do church together, do life together, care for each other. And then third, he says, "Feed my sheep." And this is similar to the previous two. And it reinforces them, telling us how important it is that every Christian is involved in the spiritual nourishment of fellow Christians, building each other up. Much later, when Peter was speaking to the elders of the church, he said this in 1 Peter 5, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Yes, God has appointed leaders to be shepherds in the church. And I also believe that we are all called to be shepherds, called to serve, called to be ministers, called to go out there and to be obedient to Jesus. And we do this in different ways. Maybe as parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, friends, we are called to spiritually nurture and nourish our children. There was a baptism this morning, and this congregation takes a vow to be involved in this. It's one of the most amazing vows I think we take in the church. We are all called to serve in this way. And if you know new believers, people who are spiritually less mature than you, we have a responsibility to nurture them, to nourish them spiritually, not because we must, but because we are willing to, as God wants us to be. Are we doing this? Are we helping other people, shepherding, feeding? Or are we just being fed all the time? Also, it's interesting how relevant what Peter said is to today, telling us not to be greedy or to be proud, but to be eager to serve, being examples. Christians who are flourishing in their faith are eager to serve. They are examples of what it is to be a Christian, to be a disciple. They are disciples and they disciple. And we all have to do this. Three times Jesus told Peter to serve the church. This is how we as Christians flourish. We love Jesus and serve him by serving the church and the world. And Paul tells us why it is important that we flourish as Christians, not allowing failure to stop us. And in the book of Acts, chapter 20, he says, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock." Paul also told us that we are given spiritual gifts, each one of us, to build up the church, and that we are all part of the body with our own special roles. The church will flourish when we, as its members, flourish. Jesus gave himself for us, the church. And the church will suffer attack. Spiritual war is real. And Satan wants to destroy each of us. And he will use our failures to stop us loving and serving. He wants us just to be passengers at church, aimlessly sitting in the pews, never feeling the fulfillment and blessing of serving, shepherding, loving, sharing life together, praying with, studying with, encouraging each other, challenging, being challenged, nurturing, being nurtured, nourishing, being nourished. So we must hold on to the truth that failure isn't final. And that Jesus wants to restore us so that we can flourish. So we must bring our failures to Jesus, allowing him to deal with them. Jesus loved Peter. And he knew what Peter needed. He knew what Peter needed so that he could get over his failure. So Peter could be restored. And each time Jesus said to him, "Do you love me?" it cancelled out a denial of Peter. I don't think Jesus did this to be tough on Peter or to be vindictive, but simply it was the process that Peter needed to release him from his failure, to flourish in the mission that God had for him, which he did. It was a difficult process, a very difficult process for Peter as he sat there and Jesus asked him again and again and again, and it hurt him. But it changed and restored him. For us, as we face up to our failures, it might hurt and it might be difficult, but it's important. It is worth it. Realizing the power of love and that call to serve. We started with one of the parables of the lost sheep. The parable of the lost son. He realized his failure, and he returned and repented to his father. His father ran to him and embraced him. Let us be that son, lost in the loving embrace of our loving Heavenly Father, not allowing our failure to rob us of the joy of a flourishing Christian life.